Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. Good morning, a very, very warm welcome to all of you who have joined us today on Zoom service. I might just say that next week there will be a different format on how we do Zoom because we are back to church, as you know, for 10:45 service, which will also be Harvest Festival service. And having said that, we will require that people could donate some non-perishable items and toiletry. These will be collected and given to Mustard Tree, one of the outreach organizations in the city center. Now, we're going to sing our first hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. But before we go there, I just want to say a few things about this hymn, because it happened to be close to me for various reasons. I will not mention for the sake of time. But if you look at this hymn, this hymn is made up of three verses. The first one, for instance, reveals God's word to us, which is resonates well with the James letter, verse 1:17. And the second verse is connects very well with the harvest service festival that we're going to have next week. The last one, which is in third verse, it actually connects with us and our lives, where we have to confess our sins and so that we can have peace and also recognize the presence of God with us. I'm saying all of this because I know at this moment we are most of us challenged with certain things in life. And I want to say, whether it's a challenge or a trial or some disappointments that you have in life, just be assured of God's promise, which is in Jesus Christ this morning. So let's sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O Lord God, my Father.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Maker of heaven and earth, who shaped the creation, that we might unite in the power of your love and triumph in the heart of all you have made, grant us determination and skill to care for the whole world and the grace to share in the good in its goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We will now have our first reading done from Isaiah, read to us by Rachel.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The choir is now going to sing for us the anthem. This is actually a recording that was done when the choir visited the Blackburn Cathedral. So it's from the archives. If there's any glitches with the speakers, just be aware of that. now have the gospel reading done by me. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. He said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last, same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what is to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, thank you very, very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed, Sidwell, for that reading. Thank you also to Rachel. And I thought it was great actually hearing the choir. We thought we'd include that piece from Blackburn Cathedral. It gave me that feeling that I was in the cathedral, maybe it's a little distance from where the choir was singing, and being drawn into the kind of spirituality about walking in the way of the Lord, which is what that whole psalm is really about. We've got a reading here, the gospel reading, which is really quite a surprise for lots and lots of people. The people get hired to go into the vineyard early in the morning. Their daily wages agreed. Different people arrive at different times. And at the end of the day, they all get the daily wage as though they'd worked there all day. On a simple kind of basis, the kind of basis that any child would tell you about, it's not fair. That's the point. It's not fair. And yet, the worrying thing is that Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Is he telling us the kingdom of heaven is not fair? Well, we'll look at that in a moment. Some of you older women in the today's congregation might remember when you were at school that there used to be this thing called domestic economy. Do you remember that? Domestic economy. And we now use the word economy a lot more than actually people did in the past. Younger people won't perhaps realize that. And that word economy actually comes from two Greek words, oikon and nomos. It means the rules for the management of a household. So domestic economy was in a way quite correct. But we now apply this word economy to the whole economic activity of an entire society or even the whole world. What's really going on in our activities, our commercial activities, our business activities, our work, our relationships, how's it working out for people in developing nations or in the wealthier nations? And we see the push and the pull, the tug and the shove of the world economy playing out on our TV screens and in our daily lives. So economy is a big deal. One of the American presidents was fighting an election. Things weren't going too well. They were having a meeting to discuss it. I think it was Clinton. It might have been one of the others. And he said, of course, it's the economy, stupid. The economy, stupid. He's telling himself, you stupid president. You know, remember, it's the economy. That's what people are bothered about. Actually, I think people are bothered about more. But certainly, it's right at the forefront of what we think about today. And this interesting parable is to do with the economy in a way. And if you think that's a bit strange, I'll just point out to you that so many of the parables of Jesus, I think slightly more than half of them, actually deal in one way or another with money, and lots of them also deal with questions around land and the productivity of the land, all kinds of things about the environment that people were in the first century that Jesus was addressing, that they knew about. These things are reflected there. The land is a very important value for Jews even today, because of course the Holy Land is the promised land, the promised land. And the question is our life in this promised land okay? Are we living up to what we ought to be doing? If you read back into your Old Testament quite in a detailed way, for example, in the book which is called Deuteronomy, you'll find that there were some really important, massive kind of rules which everyone was supposed to follow. And some of them we're aware of in our contemporary society, and lots of others actually we've forgotten. So everybody knows that you're supposed to rest on the Sabbath day. So we're supposed to have a day off, one day in seven. And that idea of rest or Sabbath is very important. It's, of course, Saturday, strictly speaking. Sometimes people imagine it's Sunday, strictly it's Saturday, of course, and Jews still follow it very much as Saturday. But the Sabbath is not only for you as an individual or as a family. Actually, if you look at the Sabbath writings in Deuteronomy, it's much, much more radical than that. The land itself is supposed to have a Sabbath. And there are rules about that. We've got, of course, this notion of letting land lie fallow. And if you like, the land needs to rest. It's an idea about a holistic idea about agriculture. Things shouldn't be constantly exploited. And there are lots and lots of special rules about how to care for people who end up being very poor and marginalized. One of them was you were not supposed to harvest a field right to the edge. You had to leave a bit at the edge, and that was for the poor people or the foreigners in your land who didn't have any of their own land to come and get what they needed. So that's an important rule. Every 7 years, I don't know if, I mean, I know Kesh works in banking, and maybe others work in banking here, but every 7 years, according to the Bible, and this is a bit of a shock if you are in banking, all debts must be forgiven. That's a shock, isn't it? Actually, it would really solve a lot of problems if you think about it. It would create loads of others, but debts are supposed to be forgiven every 7 years. And so when was the last time you heard a preacher say, the Bible says debts must be forgiven every 7 years? You don't tend not to hear that. Shall I tell you something even more dramatic? Every I think it's every 50 years. Yes, it's every 50 years. It's, you know, seven, a cycle of seven times seven plus the one. Every 50 years, something else is supposed to happen. Scholars say they don't think it ever really did happen, but it was supposed to happen. It's there in Deuteronomy. Essentially, all property has got to be redivided up. So the people have ended up very, very well off, and the people have ended up absolutely on their uppers. They kind of have something to equal it all out. Some people would like that not to be in the Bible, but I'm afraid it really, really, truly is. How we interpret that in a modern world is a very interesting question. Because this parable is about lots of things, and you say, oh gosh, or the child would say, that's not fair. They've worked all day, they haven't, and they all get paid the same. But actually, Jesus says this is the kingdom of heavens like this, and it's about, in fact, a number of things which are perhaps rather controversial. One is equality. In fact, they actually say, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day. So there you are. This is a curious place where Jesus himself actually is saying something about equality, people being equal. And he says, this is what the kingdom is like. It's not the way the world is. We know that. But it's actually in God's eyes, people are equal. He doesn't think you're more important or better or more successful if you're rich. He doesn't think you're less important if you're poor or, in worldly terms, not successful. God simply does not see people like that at all. And the other thing that the parable is about is generosity. It's about being open. It's about having that freedom which comes from generosity. Remember about the Christian faith that it's said in, elsewhere in the New Testament, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The problem with our society today is a lot of our lives are meant to be, remembering Bill Clinton or which president it was, whichever, it's the economy, stupid. We're supposed to be about getting stuff, consumer driven ideas. And in fact, it's become such a deeply seated thing that we don't know anymore about the land resting. We don't know anymore about that redistribution, which was called the Year of Jubilee. We don't know anymore about debts being forgiven. And actually, we don't even know any longer about having a day off. We've become very profoundly driven people. So in the scriptures, actually, this parable tells us that work is important, productivity is important, care of the land and its proper use is important. But it also says equality is important, everyone being treated in the same kind of way, being inclusive, and generosity. These are values, key values of God's kingdom. This isn't to say there's a particular political program, although I'm sure you could devise many around these things. But if God sees us like this, how should we begin to think about ourselves, other people, and what's truly going on? And actually, I would say a Christian needs to think about those things. But if you're a wealthier Christian, you need to be able to do so without the awful spiritual trap of guilt. And if you're a broke Christian, and there's lots of broke Christians around, we need to manage to think about these things properly without ungodly things like envy. It is a real challenge, a big agenda for our hearts and our minds and our lives. How we treat the earth, we're getting into terrible, terrible bother. And we are profoundly concerned. I detect a deep concern across people, religious people, non-religious people, about the future of our planet. And it's not surprising when we see what's going on. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. God sees things differently from the way we tend to And maybe that needs to begin to change how we, in fact, think about things and act ourselves.
Now let us pray to God our Father for the care and stewardship of creation. Creator of life, at your word, the earth brought forth plants yielding seed and trees of every kind bearing fruit. The rivers, the mountains, minerals, seas, and forests sustain life. The eyes of all looked to you to satisfy the needs of every living thing. And throughout time, the earth has sustained life. We thank you, Lord, that everything you made is good. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Through the planetary cycle of days and seasons, renewal and growth, you open your hand to give creatures their food in the proper time. In your wisdom, you granted a Sabbath, a blessed time to rest in gratitude for all that you have given, a time to liberate ourselves from vicious consumption, a time to allow the land and all creatures to rest from the burden of production. But these days, our living pushes the planet beyond its limit. Our demands for growth and our never-ending cycle of production and consumption are exhausting our world. The forests have leached the topsoil, erodes, the fields fail, the deserts advance, the seas acidify, the storms intensify. We have not allowed the land to observe her Sabbath, and the earth is struggling to be renewed. We thank you, Lord, that even so, your love sustains us. Christ have mercy. Christ have mercy. During this season of creation, we ask you to grant us courage to observe a Sabbath for our planet. Strengthen us with the faith to trust in your providence. Inspire us with the creativity to share what we have been given. Teach us to be satisfied with enough. And as we proclaim a jubilee for the earth, send your Holy Spirit to renew the face of creation. We thank you, Lord, that you hold our future in your hands. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And now, gathering all our prayers together and praying for everyone who is in our hearts, including our friends and neighbors, Bill Smith, Barbara Bainham, we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you, Sidwell, for those prayers. The wonderful commentator on ecological matters in the Christian Church, a woman called Ruth Valerio. Some of you might remember we started her Lent book before the pandemic so rudely interrupted our Lent and we couldn't finish our discussion about it. She described once her daughter going to church, then coming home, and the daughter was, although obviously the whole family are very committed to care of the environment, the daughter said, "Oh, they said they were going to pray for the world, and then they didn't." And of course, when people pray, say, "Well, let us pray for the world, let us pray for the church and the world, and thank God for his goodness," very often by world, we just mean people. But actually, the creation itself is what we do need to remember as well. Jews say a kind of greeting. They say, "Next week, Jerusalem." The next year, rather, Jerusalem. But what I'm going to say to you is in something a bit different. Next week, church. So I'm looking forward to seeing you there. And we will be able to share the piece there, but we can still do it here. So friends, you can all undo your mics. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
I think James will let us undo our mics anyway.
You can unmute yourself.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you all.
Peace be with you all.
Peace be with you all. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, Fred.
Peace
be with you,
everyone.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, Sarah and Chris.
Peace be with you, Sarah and Chris.
Hi, Linda. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, Sidwell.
Peace be with you, Sidwell.
I'm marvelous.
And with you, Nigel.
Thank you.
Peace be with you, Nigel.
Got a hymn to sing, everyone. This is a hymn. I didn't realise this until earlier this morning. I didn't remember it anyway. Remember Psalm 104, we called it the Psalm of Creation. This is another thing drawn from that psalm. Worship the King, or glorious above. Let's sing.
before I give the blessing, I just want to remind us all that there will be a voluntary at the end called Tuba Tune by C.S. Lang. That gives us an opportunity to go and refill our cups or mugs, whatever that you are drinking, and then you can come back and fellowship with one another in a proper way. Now let us pray. May God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of all goodness and growth, pour his blessings upon all things created, and upon you, his children, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.